Yaakov arrives in Haran and he gets to the well outside of the city where the Torah describes a bunch of shepherds had gathered. There's a huge rock on top of the well that they can only move when everybody gathers together. And he asks the shepherds if they know his uncle Lavan. And they say, yeah, not only do we know him, but here comes his daughter Rachel. She's coming with the flock. And the Torah describes this dramatic moment when Kasher Ro'a Yaakov es Rachel, he sees Rachel and he approaches her, and on his own, he removes the rock from the Be'er and he gives the flock to drink. And then Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel, he gives her a kiss, Vayisoes kolo vayevk, and then he cries. So Rashi's bothered, why is he crying in this great moment when she sees Rachel for the first time? And Rashi says two interpretations, both based on the Medrash. Number one, he says that Yaakov saw Beruach HaKodesh, he saw with divine inspiration that they will not be buried together, that Yaakov would end up in Maris HaMachpelah with Leah, but that Rachel would end up somewhere else, and he was crying over the fact that they would not lie in eternity together. And then Rashi says another matter was that he was crying because he was empty-handed. He didn't have any gifts to give to his wife, to what would become his wife, to Rachel. And he knew that Eliezer, Eved Avi Abba, when Avram Avinu, his grandfather, had sent Eliezer to find a wife for Yaakov's father, Yitzchak, when he met the wife, Rivka, at the well, Eliezer had all sorts of rings and gold and silver, camels laden with goods, and now Yaakov is empty-handed. And why was Yaakov empty-handed? So Rashi tells an entire story that Esav, of course, we know, wanted to kill Yaakov. That's why Yaakov was on the run. And Esav dispatched his son Eliphaz to find Yaakov and kill him. And on the way, Eliphaz caught up with Yaakov. And when he caught up with him, he was caught. And he told his uncle Yaakov, he says, you know, Yaakov, I'm stuck. On the one hand, my father commanded me to kill you. And so, kibud av v'em, I want to fulfill the wishes of my father. I want to kill you. But on the other hand, you know, I grew up in the home of Yitzchak. Yitzchak was my grandfather. And Avram is my great-grandfather. And I can't do it. So what should I do? So Yaakov gave him a piece of advice. He said, you know what? Take everything that I have. Take all my money and utilize the principle Rashi quotes, Ha'ani Chashuv Kemes. A person who has nothing, a pauper, a poor person with nothing, is considered Kemes, like somebody who has died. And this way, Yaakov says, you'll fulfill your father's wishes of killing me. You'll have, like, so to speak, killed me in that you've taken all of my money, and you will not have actually done the act which will fulfill your having been a grandson of Yitzchak and a great-grandson of Avram Avinu. And that's what he did. And now Yaakov stands at the well empty-handed, and he cries. So the morale address is, what's the pshat? What does it mean that an ani is chashuv kemes, that a person who is poor is considered as if he's died? And the morale says a very instrumental or intrinsic value of how we live our lives. He says, an ani she'ein lo chiyus mitzad atzmo. An ani doesn't have any life from within himself. Meaning, shekol hachayim yeshlem kiyum mitzad atzmon bilvad. Something that has life is able to sustain itself. Ve'enam tzrichim luzul, doesn't need outside help to sustain himself. We refer to Hashem as Elokim Chayim. Hashem doesn't have life. He's not alive. He's not alive in a way that you could be alive or be dead. Chas v'shalom, Hashem is eternal. But we call him an Elokim Chayim because his existence comes from within himself. It doesn't depend on anything from the outside, which is why we also call a spring water a self-sustaining, as a Be'er Mayim Chayim. It is self-sustaining. It's alive, not in the sense that it breathes, in the sense that it doesn't need an outside body of water. It comes from within. It's a spring, a natural underground spring. It has its own source of life. And that's why the morale says, when the Torah commands us in the mitzvah of tzedakah, it says, v'chei achicha emach, and you will give life to your brother with you. Give him life to live with you. You're providing his chiyus. But true chayim is one which needs to come from within. And that's why the morale says, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, v'sonei matanos yichya, someone who hates gifts, hates it, yichya, will live. Very strong language. The morale says the reason why Shlomo HaMelech uses such strong language is it's an attitude in life. I don't want gifts. I don't want things for free. I don't want from outside. I want to be able to sustain myself, be self-sufficient from within my own means. That's chiyu. So if I'm a sonei matanos, if I hate it, then I have life. Every human being needs from other people. No one can totally sustain. We're not the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're not God. And we all need help from time to time. But it's an attitude of, if I have to take, I need to. But I don't want to. I want to be able to live in a way that I sustain myself. And therefore, an ani, a person who completely needs to rely on outside help, has nothing on their own, is chashuv kemes. And Yaakov utilizes that idea. They tell his nephew Eliphaz, take everything that I have, and it will be considered as if I am a mace, and there you can fulfill your father's wishes. And then he cries when he sees Rachel at the well with nothing to give, leaving us with the message of the desire to be self-sustaining, the desire to become independent and have the chiyus from within, like the Elokim Chayim, and like a Be'er Mayim Chayim.